is the January 18th, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have a quorum, and I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll to establish that.
Okay. Sharon Adams? Nick Arena?
Here.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten? Julie Hewitt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Is that Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Sean Kelly McPherson? James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims? Okay, we have eight, and that's a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, Secretary. Okay, we now go to adopt the agenda, for which purpose I will read the agenda. Begins with number one, convene meeting, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, minutes approval, 3 minutes. Number six, report, if available, from the Pacifica Executive Director, 10 minutes report and question and answer. Number seven, review fiscal year 22 Pacifica Affiliates Network draft budget. Network manager Ursula Rudenberg and PAN business manager Ruth Wiedenmeyer presenting. 20 minutes presentation, 40 minutes Q&A. Number eight, review updated version of the WPFW fiscal year 22 draft budget, 20 minutes. Number nine, report from the ICFO, 10 minutes. Number 10, discussion of standard transaction limits, Beth Von Gunten reporting, 5 minutes, Q&A, 5 minutes. Number 11, budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 2022, 5 minutes. Number 11, unfinished business with national office, compile a list to share with the national office of year-end outstanding items, 5 minutes. And number 13, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Is there any discussion, additions, deletions suggested?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, I'll make number 8 FY22 in the minutes.
What?
Did I read FY21?
You said FY2022.
Oh, got it.
I wrote it 22. The same as it's been for decades.
Yes, I wrote it 22, so I just misread it. Yes, please do that. Thank you.
This is Lyndon.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Do we have excused absences with this committee?
We do not.
Okay, thank you.
We did have a report that Anita Sims is ill, and we did have an advance notice from Sean that he had a previously scheduled engagement that he could not reschedule. Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
I just wondered when PFW's budget was sent out. I'm digging through my email chain, and I can't seem to find it.
It was fairly recent. And actually, Julia, if I ask you to send it out again so it's right at the top of everybody's email and they can find it easily.
Well, Nick
sure.
sent it out at 10:47 a.m. Yeah, 10:47.
Sorry, Kim, were you asking to be recognized?
Sure.
Is that Kim?
That's Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Nick sent it out 10:47 a.m. And, Chris, since you and I are on East Coast time, you know, it would be 10:47 for you. Okay. I mean, we're both West Coast time.
I'm on West Coast time. Yeah.
So am I, most of the time.
Okay.
Okay.
10:47. Got it. I'll look for it. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Chris.
Well, I just sent it as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Julia. We usually, just as a reminder, we try to ask people to send right before the meeting starts, so it's easy for everybody to find. Okay, were there any other discussion, any other comments, additions, deletions from the budget? I mean, from the agenda?
James.
Yes?
James, can I
Julia?
Just point out one thing?
Yes, please.
You sent out an email right around the start of the meeting with the spreadsheet. That
yes.
was not the correct file. I just want to make sure that everybody knows I've replied to it and attached the correct file that I had sent out earlier this afternoon. So I just want to make sure that people aren't confused. If you see the spreadsheet from James that is for the affiliates, that is not the correct one. I have reshared the one that I sent earlier today, so everybody should have it.
My apology. I tried to send that out earlier. I saw that it came back. It bounced, and I had to resend it. And I did not. Okay, so that was my bad.
Okay, request for information, please. This is Kim.
Is this about the approval of the?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, James. So the correct TAN budget came. Well, I got it at 1:04 p.m. Correct.
The PDF from me.
The one that Julia sent out. Okay, it's a PDF. Whatever, you know. It's,
yes.
But that's the one
it,
at 1:04.
Right. Yep. Because I sent it at like 4:00. Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's it.
You're welcome. And that's the same document that I just sent out again.
Okay.
The PDF is the right one for that one.
Right. Right.
Okay. We still haven't approved the agenda, folks. I'm asking if there's any more discussion on that subject. Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting this agenda as read? And as corrected by our poll about fiscal year 22, very good. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the chair's announcements. And they're short today. Tonight we will be joined by Ursula Rudenberg, Network Manager of the Pacifica Affiliates Network, or PAN, P-A-N, and Ruth Wiedmeyer, PAN Business Manager. They will be presenting the PAN Fiscal Year 22 Draft Budget. In keeping with our policy of giving priority to agenda items that involve guests, we will hear from them after we go through the usual meeting preliminaries. Tonight, we will also review an updated version of WPFW FY22 budget. As discussed in our last meeting, there are no other new announcements. And that takes us on to number 5, minutes approval. Our Paul, I understand you have minutes.
Yeah, give me a second.
Take your time. While you're having that second, our Paul, I'm going to inquire. Go ahead.
All right. I move that we approve the minutes of the January 11th, 2022 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Any corrections, questions? Hearing none, we'll consider that approved with the proviso, of course, that at any time they are open for correction in the future if necessary. I believe that was it, our Paul?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we go now to number 6, a report, if available, from the Pacifica Executive Director, 10 minutes report and question and answer. I don't believe the Executive Director is here, but I'm going to ask. Hearing no response, I will go on, assuming that the Executive Director is not here. We go now to number 7, review of the fiscal year 22 Pacifica Affiliates Network draft budget. Network Manager Ursula Rudenberg and PAN Business Manager Ruth Wiedemeyer presenting. 20 minutes presentation and 40 minutes Q&A. Ursula, why don't you go ahead and start? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for taking us so early in the evening and considering our budget, and hopefully we can come to an agreement so that we can move forward with this. We sent you the budget, and as you can see, it's a relatively simple budget. We have a relatively simple operation. We have 3 staff people and some peripheral consultants. So we're a relatively small group of people. And I guess I would be more interested in moving to questions as soon as possible. I think the budget is relatively clear. As you can see, we are budgeting for $269,947.90. And this budget, that amount is basically a bare bones operation that we run. And then includes a few projects that we are in the middle of working on that we would like to see to completion this year, if financially possible. Now, I think to give you a better understanding of where we're at right now as a group of people or as a unit of Pacifica, I can describe a little bit. The majority of the money that you see on the budget in terms of income comes from affiliate fees. We are a self-sustaining operation. In fact, up until recently, we've been an operation that's donated a lot of money provided a lot of money to the national office when we had excess. The majority of the funds that we get as an operation is from affiliate fees. There's a little more than 200 affiliates right now. The network does continue to grow at the average of about one or two affiliates a month, but we've also lost, you know, a lot of stations to COVID in the last year. So the numbers haven't, you know, grown dramatically for the last 2 years, because it's been a time of a lot of financial instability for everybody in the country. In terms of how the fees break down, just if you're interested, we group affiliates into affiliates that don't pay anything. And there's about 20 of those right now. Most of those we keep in touch and try and move them into paying as soon as they can. We have about 50 affiliates that pay less than $500 a year. We have 74 affiliates that pay less than $1,000 a year. We have 18 affiliates that pay less than $2,000. We have 20 affiliates that pay less than $3,000. We have 16 affiliates that are between $3,000 and $5,000. And we have 5 affiliates that pay more than $5,000. And so that's kind of gives you a little bit of a sense of how we make the money. Everybody gets the same services regardless of how much they pay. It's a one fee service and you're either a network member or you're not. So last year we had a total of less money than we actually used. So this is, an important. So we're projecting this year to bring in $215,000 in affiliate fees. That's probably a conservative projection. We're not taking into account that we'll probably get more affiliates, which will bring in a little bit of money. I don't imagine that it'll be in excess of $2,000 or $3,000 because we're already, you know, into the year, and. But there will be a little bit more money coming in from fees during the year. I think, you know, before we go to questions, I think there's just one more thing that I want to kind of describe, you know, the state of the program, so to speak, so you can get a sense of what's happening right now with this program and what's important to us and hopefully important to you. So last year we had we brought in $248,129. Our expenses were $248,129. Our income was $2,009 and a few dollars. So we had a shortfall of about $39,000 in income versus expenses. So the way we dealt with that was that we had a reserve fund. And so we were able to get through the year okay. Now, we do make a little bit of money from donations. Some stations donate their CPB money to us. Some individuals donate to us. And we got a few grants last year. But anyway, getting back to where we're at now, we did have a shortfall last year of about $40,000, but we were okay because we had reserves fund. About the same deficit is expected this year, especially with as COVID drags on and people are having trouble recovering. This year, there is no reserve fund. It's been used up. And so we will have to find ways to bridge that gap this year. We don't have a reserve to cover it anymore. So we are imagining that we need about a minimum of $40,000 in additional revenue to meet expenses this year. And then probably another, we would like to have another $10,000 for reserve funds. So we are looking for ways to bring in about another $50,000 this year that we don't know yet how that will happen. I think it's important for you to know, you know, where the program is at, where we're at, and the vulnerabilities that we are facing right now. One of the reasons we went through our reserve fund is because Pacifica relied heavily in the past on the affiliate program for liquid cash when it needed it. And in fact, at the beginning of FY20, we forgave about a $33,000 debt from Pacifica National. So in the past, we've been generous when we could be. But this year, we are not in a position anymore to really give more money than we do to central services, which we do on a monthly basis, because we ourselves this year have to face pretty big challenges. So this is a year of vulnerability for the network. We hope that we will, you know, have the support of the foundation to help us, you know, figure out how to succeed this year. So that's where we're at. I think, Ruth, do you want to say anything before we open it to questions?
Yeah, I'd like to answer some questions, though, that Julia has sent me. And would you like to ask those questions now, Julia?
Before we do that, I could just, rather than have Julia sort of jumping ahead of everyone here, I wanted to ask you, Ursula, if you would, just very briefly, give us a little, you know, above the level of the finances, a brief history of the Pacifica Affiliates Network, what it is, what it does, how it actually operates. I ask you to do that just because my first real awareness of what the affiliates were and what they did came through being part of the finance committee. And I think there's people listening and there's perhaps even some people here who don't really have a good grasp on exactly what the affiliates are, what they do. Could you just give us a quick summation?
Yeah, the affiliate, our affiliate program is a fortunate fact of history. Since the 1970s, other stations that were emulating Pacifica began to build relationships with Pacifica and kind of build a media world together with Pacifica that was outside of the Pacifica stations. So this goes way back to the beginning for many people. And so many of these stations have been the extended family of Pacifica since the 1970s. Pacifica was not able to put this together into a program that was stable and successful until 2002 and 2003 after the Pacifica struggle when we were, excuse me.
It was like the circus was in town.
Yeah. So after the Pacifica struggle in 2003, we put together this program. And it has proved to be incredibly resilient because it's very client needs-based. It was done through a lot of input and discussion among many people around the country about what would make a successful program. And the program has done extremely well since then, and it's grown from, I think when I started in 2003, we had 30 affiliates and left over. I mean, because of the Pacifica struggle, most people had left Pacifica. And today we, like I said, we grow at the average of about one or two a month, And we have, I would say right now, about 225 or so affiliates. We do have a few affiliates in Europe. Sometimes we've had affiliates in Africa. They kind of come and go. So we do have affiliate. We do have affiliates in Canada. And the stations include community stations, college stations, internet stations, low power stations, tribal stations, and then we have a whole lot of independent production groups who also consider themselves part of the network and distribute content. Now, the other thing, I mean, so there's a lot of services that we provide. We meet once a week, actually, by Zoom, with as many network members as want to get together to talk. And the thing that has really driven the network to a new level was in 2003 or 2004, we built the Pacifica Audio Port, which is a website which distributes all our content. And it also allows other people all over the network, not only Pacifica producers, but producers from affiliate stations and independent producers, to distribute work. And so Pacifica today distributes just almost an infinite amount of content. It's really a fantastic thing, because we have an average of maybe 5 new programs a week coming into that website. So we have hundreds and thousands of programs that are being distributed by Pacifica. And it has really stimulated several new generations of community radio broadcasters. So it's a very dynamic network. It's very interactive. It has an extremely cooperative culture, and a culture of mutual support. And, you know, a lot of what we do, other than distribute programming and services, we're liaisons, so we're connecting people. I mean, we do what you do when you build a network. You connect people, you help people. And so it's I guess if you're not familiar with the affiliate program, what you should know is that Pacifica has an extremely friendly and dynamic extended family of many, many, and also very big. And very active, very, very generous, and everybody kind of, you know, wants to do community radio together. So it's a wonderful scene. You know, we work with a lot of really fantastic people.
Good. Thank you for that. That was informative. I appreciate that. We still have a little time left in the time for you to report. And I guess if Ruth has prepared answers to questions that she got from Julie, perhaps I'll ask the committee if there's any objection to Ruth making that part of the report.
Then we'll go
to Q&A.
James, this is Chris.
It was more of a clarification.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I heard Julie. Julie, go ahead. Julia?
It was more of a clarification.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I had just gotten a message from Julia and wanted to make sure she had the information she needed. There is something I'd also like to point out in our revenue, the contributions from individuals. This is to also include grants. That word was in there in another version of the budget, and it did not get in. So the contributions from individuals, that $50,000, we had $10,000 for grants and then $5,000 as like donations from individuals. And that's important that I want you to know.
Jim, this is Chris for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little bit of recent history regarding the finances of the affiliates. Until a couple of years ago, the affiliates were embedded in the national office, so you couldn't really see the accounting as a separate thing. Robin Collier and Urs pioneered the idea of creating an independent division in terms of the accounting. So now that we can actually see the cash flows that are coming to and from this portion of the business, before, when money was taken out of the affiliates, it was just taken through the national office. So there was very little way of monitoring those It wasn't an interdivisional loan at that point because affiliates were embedded in the P&O. It was merely expenses that were paid by the P&O to other divisions of the company. So this way of doing it makes the bank of the affiliates act as sort of an independent unit. So now when transfers take place, they will be visible. You will be able to see them moving from one place to another. Unfortunately, as Ursula has already said, there is the money in the bank of the affiliates has been drawn down to basically zero at this point. So there's nothing that can be drawn, but we hope for better times when this intercompany transfer stuff that routinely happens with other divisions will happen in a more memorable way for the affiliates. And that was one of the primary purposes of separating it out. So I just thought I'd add that. Thank you
so much for that, Chris. I really appreciate you saying that. And I absolutely agree with what Chris is saying. It's partly why I really tried to, you know, express to you that this year that we are in a vulnerable position, because it's true that in the past, the affiliate program was kind of used a little bit as a reserve fund for everything in the network. And it we are always really, really happy to contribute money to the foundation. I mean, you know, we are 2,000% Pacifica, and so we are here to make this network succeed. However, this cooperation was, I mean, quite frankly, abused many times, and it got us to the point now where we're in an extremely vulnerable position ourselves. So we're not really complaining, but we are trying to ask the network to understand that this year we are not in a position to do that anymore. We're trying to make this work here, and I think we will.
I have some questions for Ursula or whomever.
Of course,
later as well.
Chris, okay.
I'll get on the stack for that. I'll get on.
Yeah,
the
I was just going to ask you to do that. But Ursula, before we go on, I just want to clarify one item or one aspect of this. The $33,000 transfer that you was, I think, from 2020. You use the word quote unquote forgave. You forgave that to the national office. Were you a part of the national office at that time, or were you a separate unit already?
It was in between. We were transitioning from one to the other, and that's partly why we just said let's let bygones to be bygones, because we wanted a fresh start.
But we did have some conversation. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it was kind of a bad moment, which in a way precipitated us becoming a unit, because it came out that I think 150,000 or more, somewhere between 150 and $200,000 had been taken out of the affiliate bank account. We've had a bank account for many years, and I used for purposes that we did or did not know about. We, you know, there was some various things, and it brought us to the point where we couldn't make payroll. And at that point, you know, we spoke up and talked about how much money actually had been taken out of the affiliate unit. And so there was a decision to put that money back into the unit and to make it into the affiliate program, I guess it was called in those days, and to make it into a unit so that there would be some clarity. And a lot of money was returned, but $33,000 wasn't returned. And so we felt we wanted, since we had the TNB had decided we were going to be a unit, we wanted to get off to a fresh start. And we just said, let's just start from zero. And that remaining $33,000, that's just, you know, the past. So it was a little bit of a gray area, which was fine with us at the time.
I was just wondering if, you know, if we didn't look at it as something from the past, if it could be a source of revenue for you going forward that might come from the national office, especially in view of the receipt of the EIDL loan.
I love that, James. That would
I'm sure you do. But actually, I think if you weren't actually a unit yet, it was actually just the national office moving money around inside the national office. So anyway, it's just, I was just curious about that.
It was true that there was a promise made that money would be returned. So, I mean, I don't know if that.
I don't know what the legal effect of you not being a unit saying, oh, it's okay, forget about it. Who knows? Let's think about that another time. Let's move now to, unless anybody else had any questions or anything else.
I'd like to add that amount, the $33,000, it just took a while because it was in the middle of this changeover. It was shortly before I came on board. So I, didn't make that transaction, but the process of making it a unit did seem to drag on. Like it took a long time. so it you know, whether it was here or there is just really kind of ambiguous.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
Understood. Okay. Why don't we move on now? Why don't we move on now from the report? I think the time for the report is up, and let's go to questions and answers. And
this is Kim. I'll be on the stack, but I'll.
Okay, Kim. I'm going to ask you to hold on 1 second while I reset my clock here. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, let's see. First of all, you said you got a few grants last year, but I don't see that documented. Am I wrong? Or is that
Kim, you're right. It was 2020. You're right.
Okay.
Other than we got the PPP.
The grants we received in 2020, but we continue to expense them through 2021, and that is indicated in the special projects grants expenses.
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't want to hold up discussion right now, but I would like to make a motion at the end of discussion for this to be put into a sort of more normal template. Is that, Julia, I don't want to give Julia more work, but I mean, we can discuss that. What do you have a number that is still owed from the individual stations? Is everybody caught up?
No, we have I can tell you that. Hold on. Here, scroll up. Here.
Part of it's about $29,000. It's in black and white.
Hold on. One at a time.
Okay. This is Ruth here. At the beginning of the, first preparing this budget back, before October 1st, as of October 1st, we had outstanding prior fiscal year fees of $28,948.
Right. I know. Lyndon, maybe where would this be? Which line item is it? And what's
okay,
it called?
Okay, that would be.
No,
Lyndon
it's actually.
Kim. Kim, I'm going to ask you to let if you ask a question, let him answer, and then we'll have less crosstalk.
Okay. The past dues are line number 5 in the 2022 budget, the $28,947.90. Of course, since then we've collected a good share of that.
So right now we have outstanding fees of $10,731.
These, Kim, to be specific, these are fees from still owed from fiscal year 21, not our expected accounts payable for fiscal year 22.
What?
Yeah, a lot of affiliates pay quarterly, so we don't get all of them.
Okay, we're confusing things. I'm asking not what the affiliates owe you for past years, but I'm asking what the stations like the five network stations.
Oh, got it. KPFK owes us $17,000. Or
still,
yeah, that's it.
That's it. Okay. Yeah.
You're not going to see that on the income statement.
No. Yeah, and nor should I've never seen past due either on a budget.
Can I help
past...
with that?
Okay.
I'm going to ask. Let's try and be a little more orderly here. We got people jumping in and cutting each other off. Was that Julia asking to jump in there?
It was. If Ursula was okay with that,
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Remember, this is a cash budget. It is not an accrual-based budget. And so that is why you would see the collection of the past fiscal year affiliation dues, because this is a cash budget. And once we get switched over to where, and I talked to John today about, trying to have a timeline for when we'll get them to where they're recording their items in Great Plains, then you would not see that. I didn't really say this with Ruth today, but I agree. I felt like a cash budget was the best thing to use right now because it would be the clearest, especially given what she's saying now about, that it being a tighter year and some of these are new revenue ideas. Again, it's a cash budget, so that's why she's got those payments on there, because they were not, that revenue was not reported in the prior year.
So should we consider that as revenue for this year? We don't budget at the stations for what might come in from last year's pledge drives, even though those come in.
But we count it towards it because we don't record those as pledges. And so when you're not recording pledges and you're not reporting contracts for revenue on the front end, you would be able to see, they know that they should be getting that. As long as somebody doesn't, I think it's probably Ursula, correct me if I'm wrong. It's probably has a higher percentage chance of being collected than, pledges from a fund drive might.
Yes, that's true.
We're talking.
I think I heard Lyndon trying to break in there. Lyndon, was that you?
No, it was Chris.
Oh, go ahead, Chris.
I think this is actually more of a cash flow statement than a profit and loss or anything else that would normally be considered the type of accounting statement that we're normally used to seeing. Setting that aside, I would like Ursula to comment on the three footnoted items, if possible, because they are a bit confusing, particularly the second one, the consultant and contracted services breakdown. That number looks really, really large. I'm assuming that these are probably due to unpaid bills or something. I'm not clear on why that number is so large. So if somebody could elucidate those footnotes, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
I don't think we're not owing anything. I think that partly what's happening here is, there's two things happening, really. One is that we are supporting two productions right now. One is the daily political news cast, 2021 Talks, and COVID Race and Democracy. Now, we understand that we may have to stop supporting those programs. We're hoping not to, but if it turns out that we can't find grants or some other way to support those, we will probably have to stop funding those projects. So that's partly what's adding to the numbers. Now, another thing is that we help pay for Don Mussel's consultant services. Don Mussel is our consulting engineer for Pacifica. So we shoulder a certain amount of that. The rest of it has to do with the fact that services we need to offer these days to stay current require support staff. And there is no support staff for that at Pacifica. And so we pay for that on a consultant basis. And so you see several consultants there who are playing critical roles in what we do that we don't get within Pacifica. We also, we're building a new website, which is costly. We're building a podcast hosting service. And, so these things, they require services. These people usually work with Otis. Most of the support staff we hire works with Otis to accomplish what really we need to accomplish in this day and age in order to stay a current media service. So that is where those costs are going. We don't really owe anybody anything right now. This is what we're hoping to do this year, knowing full well that if we can't figure out where to find the money, we're going to have to start cutting back some of these things, and that's just life until, we reach better times.
Understood.
Ursula, may I ask a clarifying question, please?
Yeah.
What percentage of those services, you seem to be indicating that some of it is for Pacifica and some of it is for the affiliates. What percentage of, in footnote number two or two stars, what percentage of that is for Pacifica and what percent for affiliates? Or can you break it down that way?
I'm not sure what that distinction means. I mean, I don't know.
Well, for example, you said that John Russell was a consulting engineer for Pacifica.
Oh, yeah, John Russell, yeah. That's a Pacifica cost that we just helped pay for because he helps the network, and traditionally we've always helped pay for Don's costs. I don't know if that's going to change. I know that Don is actually not very well, and so Pacifica may have to find a new consulting engineer. But that's just, we've just always helped pay for that cost. But that's really a Pacifica cost.
If I could just follow up, you've got other costs, like for servers that also serve Pacifica. Perhaps I'm not going to ask you to go back and do that now, but perhaps in the future, if we could get a budget that is hopefully going to be in the new budget template that we're going to be adopting across the network, where we have lines that we can refer to and cells that we can, go to. So we're all looking at the same thing and understanding the same thing, and it will be comparable. And then maybe we could break some of that down to see what, how the affiliates network is supporting Pacifica. And it just give us a better overview of what's actually going on.
We have that breakdown. We can send that to you.
I think that would be helpful. Also, I want to ask Julia. Let me just ask Julia a question. Julia, that is the plan, right? This eventually we'll have the template that we'll have for everybody, and we'll be putting this budget into that, and that'll give us more clarity about some of these things, right?
Well, I think so. I don't know how much more clarity it's going to give you about consultants and what they're doing. And when I saw the template that Bruce and Ursula have used, I just assumed that that's the template they've been using before and that I didn't know that. So, and of course, we weren't going to have that changed by this weekend, so I just let it go. But again, we're going to do that and switch it over to the other template, but it's not going to delve deeper into what these expenses are tied to. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what I was hoping it would do, but perhaps we can find another way to do that.
James, I had a follow-up question. Do you mind?
I'd like
James,
to get back on the stack, too, please.
Yeah.
James, in terms of the server costs, we can give you basically that information. It's basically three numbers that Ruth can just tell you right now if you want to know.
Sure, she can tell us now, but I'm wishing we had it in, on paper here.
Sure, I can send you a breakdown where we use five different servers, and the ones used by the affiliate network, or the total amount for the servers is $22.87 a month, and the network share is $1,362 a month, and the P&O share is $925.30. So that is the station server, and then a partial share of the of one of the other ones. The archive thing.
But I can
easily send you that.
Okay, well, that would be good. Just in the future, I think more information is always better than less. But I heard Chris and then Kim. Why don't we go to those questions?
Thanks, James. I just wanted to follow up. So I'm looking at the consultant and contracted services. I just find myself asking, I understand that the affiliates are 200 stations, and I also understand that these services aren't spread out evenly throughout the, or maybe I don't exactly understand how the network functions. That could be completely true. But I guess what I'm asking is how the consultants are the I guess some stations will use the services that you're specifying here in this footnote more than others within the affiliate network. And this mm-hmm. helps pipe in programming from Pacifica into the affiliates network. Is that a rough description of what I'm seeing here? And if not, could you help me understand it a little bit better?
Yeah. Okay. Let me try be a little bit more helpful. There's a number of things going on here. Part of it is that you're right. Not everybody, there's not a completely even use of these services. You're absolutely right about that. The top line internet services support, we have developed, Pacifica has developed an internet technology package that includes reporting and archiving that people actually at this point are paying us to use. And that requires technical support. And so that's what that is. That support staff for people that are using the internet technology package and paying for it. And I think right now there's about 35 stations doing that. The roundtable consultants, that is a we have weekly roundtables where we gather as a network, and once in a while we like to bring in an expert that we actually have to pay for. To talk to people for some sort of training. We've tried to keep it really low because we don't want to spend a lot of money on that, but we did put $1,000 in there. The Pacific Caster, that is a website that is being built that is a podcast hosting site. And so that is the cost of building a website, and that is something that not everybody in the network will use, but many, 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 many people in the network and many stations in the network have requested to be able to have a podcast hosting site at Pacifica. It's just the future for everybody, and they would like to do it through Pacifica instead of somewhere else. The Pacific Caster consultant works together with the webmaster to manage that project. And we hope we'll then do outreach too once the site is done, because there's going to be a lot of outreach necessary to help people start using that service. Then we've got the two programs. We've got 2021 Talks and we've got COVID Race and Democracy. Those are just productions that we're paying for. And like I said, we don't know if that's really feasible this year. And then the last one, Don Muscle, that is a shared service just with Pacifica Foundation, that we're just trying to do our part. So, yes, you're right. These are services that not everybody in the network uses. Now, the other services we offer, which is, you know, access to our content sharing website, that is unilateral. Everybody gets the same thing. These are more nuanced services, but they are services that absolutely keep us current as far as a media organization and in terms of our standing as a relevant service, they do play a role in terms of upholding our brand as a relevant service to you know, community radio. So they do serve that purpose, but the use of those services is going to depend on a lot of things. I have a sense that the I hope that the podcasting website doesn't take off too quickly, because but I have a feeling with time that will become a pretty large service, and we do hope in the future to charge for that, so that if people want to use our podcasting website, that they we can ask something in return.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't actually questioning them. I'm just trying to understand them. So thanks. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Yeah, sometimes the details make it more clear. I mean, you know, the consultant part of this is an expression of our ambition to not stay in one place, but to continue to grow as a relevant service, you know, nationally.
I think I heard Kim.
Yes. Okay. So about this podcasting thing is, well, apparently Bertold at WBAI is also starting a podcast thing. I think this needs to be consolidated, and everybody needs to know what's going on. The left hand needs to know what's going on the right hand, so we're not duplicating efforts. I think Don Mussel, I mean, unless there's some other reason, should be on P&O's budget, not yours. I mean, you don't have a transmitter. I mean, unless your own transmitter, but do we service affiliates transmitters? Why? I don't understand.
Well,
also.
Kim, why don't we better answer that one, and then you can ask the next one.
Kim, I think that's historical, because I think in the past, Don did help affiliates when they needed it. Today, it's more of a question, because Don himself is not well, and I don't know how much he's really doing, so it might not really be relevant anymore.
Okay, and I would like to see actually on this budget to break out your central services, the full amount, and then add the interest payment as two separate line items.
Add the what?
And add, sorry?
I would like to see two separate line items, one for central services, the full amount. You have a partial amount there, which you say has deducted the interest of payment for the loan. So I would like to see those broken
the
out.
Full amount.
Okay.
Okay. Isn't it here?
Well, I've noted that it's, although it isn't in the body of the budget, it's in the little breakout box down there that sort of breaks down how we computed, you know, our what we can budget for central services this year.
It does get a number there. It says 42,370.
What? In the budget, it says 25,381.
If you scroll down to the box,
I know. But I'd like
Hold on, Kim. Kim.
Let me just clarify.
Go ahead. Just calm down. Go ahead.
I would like to see the 47,000 in there under central services, and then I would like to see a line item, a separate line item that says interest payment, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
Okay. Can you tell us what this? Why? And then, first of all, what is 2021 talks? And then, second of all, why are these two shows on your budget and not P&O's budget?
Well, 2021 Talks is a project that started prior to the 2020 election, tracking the election process. And it was a partnership that we developed together with Public News Service. And it provides a daily 3-minute update on the political process. And it was so successful and so well liked that we decided to continue it because, you know, the political process right now in the United States is, you know, the gift that keeps on giving, right? I mean, we all know that we're in really remarkable times. And so the newscast continues, and it's a 3-minute daily newscast on what's happening with government. At this point, Public News Service is bearing the majority of the cost for that, not us. But they still put us, they still brand it as a Pacifica show, as well as a PN Public News Service show. COVID race and democracy, there is no good answer to your question. It's just that nobody else had any money. And we were in support of the show. And to a large degree, I wanted to support it because they are really the first show, national show at Pacifica, other than our show here at our office, which we do, that actively tries to collaborate with affiliates. And so we wanted to support their efforts. Now, we might not be able to do that anymore, but we did it out of enthusiasm for their efforts, and nobody else had any money to support them. Actually, I think it would be really great at this point if P&O could absorb that instead of us. I would be very happy about that. We just did it because we wanted to be supportive last year.
Overall, I have a problem with, you know, with this running a deficit last year and with it basically looking like it's going to run a deficit this year. I mean, I could go over some other line items and maybe other people will, but this is kind of a very tight budget that, you know, and some of this revenue is pretty speculative. About $70,000. Well, $60,000. I'll let somebody else take a whack with some questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim. Anybody else?
Kim, it's
you know,
truly.
Yeah. I respect what you're saying, Kim.
Did I hear Julie asking for the sec? Or was that Julia?
You did. No, it was Julie.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Go ahead.
And then I heard Beth.
Yeah, Ursula, I have this recollection that the affiliates used to charge a flat fee some years ago for affiliates to join the station, and obviously at some point you moved to this kind of revenue-based formula. How long ago was that?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your question. Could you rephrase it?
I thought previously you charged affiliates a kind of flat fee. I have this number of like $200 that I remember per station, per affiliate, and that you apparently have switched to this revenue-based kind of formula. How long ago did you do that?
The affiliate program has always been based on a sliding fee scale based on operations. And, I mean, we used to have stations that paid $10,000 a year. We have net, what is the same for everybody is they all get the same service. But the fee has always been a sliding fee scale based on operation budget. That's never been the case.
Got it.
That's what I inherited, actually.
Okay.
Okay,
that's fair. My mistake. I don't know where I got that piece of information from. I guess the only thing I'm thinking of is, and I actually don't have any problems with your budget. I mean, I thought it was, you know, as Chris pointed out, a big jump from last year to this year in terms of the consultant and contracted services. But I feel like you've explained that, and it, you know, part of it's aspirational. Well, if it works, it works, and if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Exactly.
You know, and these are tough times for everybody. And, you know, I appreciate recognizing the, you know, past affiliate dues as a payable that hopefully will, you know, kind of work out so that, you know, the budget balances. I guess the only thing that I would remark just as a general proposition is, you know, to think more about ways to the extent that it makes sense, right? Ways to monetize some of the certain services that affiliates use that are, you know, that impose more costs on the affiliate network.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if we move towards that eventually, then I think maybe, you know, some of the issues that you're worried about this year, you know, could resolve themselves.
Yes. I agree.
But, you know, that's a double-edged sword, right?
Well, yeah, we're dealing with a lot of desperate people who don't have a lot of money. So, you know, you kind of have to walk a line. But I think there are also services we could offer that we don't right now that would make money without costing us anything. I think there are some things.
Great. Thanks.